Good afternoon. This is Nan.
Oh, good afternoon.
Who's that? I'm sorry.
It's Veronica.
How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Good. Terrific. Thank you. Oh, we're just, it looks like there's just you and me for now. Hopefully the others will join soon.
Here's Nan checking in. Yeah.
Hi, this is Nan.
Hi, this is Demetrius.
Hi, Demetrius. How are you doing today?
Okay,
Veronica is here. Or Allison is here, sorry. And someone else checking in?
Mary Beth.
Hi, Mary Beth. How are you?
Hi. Good.
Good. Demetrius is here. And Veronica.
Uh-huh.
And we're just waiting for everyone else to come. It's hard to believe it's a new week already. August is flying by. Oh, here's
it certainly is.
Yeah. Hi, this is Nan.
Hi, Nan. Allison Love just joined.
Hey, Allison. How are you doing?
Well, I have been trying to catch up on everything that I had missed prior to last week, and it was quite a lot.
I know. Well, the nice thing is that, whatever you don't finish, you can continue to work on, your own even after the course is over. And, of course, I'm always available if you want to, get in touch with me if there's anything that you're having trouble with, that sort of thing, even after the course is over.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I think I heard a beep. Someone else checking in?
That's Krista.
Hey, Krista. How are you doing today?
Good. Thank you.
Migraine gone?
Yes. And I'm going to be responding back to your email. I had a very busy week, but
you don't have to. It was okay. I just wanted to give you those names just in case they could, might be helpful.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome. There's been so many storms and low pressure systems that it really does make my daughter gets migraines. My son-in-law, they've both been saying that they're getting them terribly.
I used
to get them. I used to have terrible ones until I went into menopause. And I guess the hormonal changes, I haven't had any since.
Then there's hope ahead.
Yeah. So there could be hope.
Thank you.
You just have to get old.
Right. Thank you.
You're welcome. So by this time in the course, we're just heading into week five, obviously, today. Hopefully you have been working on your code of ethics. You've got some kind of a life purpose statement or the idea for one, a personal mission statement, and a vision statement. So how are those coming for all of you?
Hi, Nan. This is Demetrius.
Yes, Demetrius.
And I kind of just started on the exercises, right? And I started with the talent, the very first one.
Mm-hmm.
And I found myself, you know, I'm writing the information, but and I'm like, what do I do with this information? Like, I'm writing it, but what is it telling me? You know, what is it saying? I'm not absolutely sure. I guess just for you to write it, just for you to speak it through. But it's kind of like I'm just writing.
Okay.
The same thing over and over. For example, I give you for me, I like to take pictures, right?
Mm-hmm.
All my life, I like to take pictures, and it's I've mentioned before. Because I lost my parents, you know, I don't really have a lot of pictures from when I was younger. You know, little or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's like I'm a little obsessed with making sure I capture the moment. You know, because I know when it's over, that's all you got is pictures. I know how if I saw a picture of my parents, it would be very valuable to me right now. You know,
yeah.
So I'm trying to capture as many pictures, you know, as I can, you know, for my to the level that my own family, they kind of like tired of me, right? but you know, so everybody's like, oh, you should be a photographer. You should be a photographer, right?
Mm-hmm.
You should do it. And this is something that's been with me. I believe it's been with me in all this time. But I'm afraid that if I try to become a photographer as like to make money, I'm afraid it's going to take the joy out of it for me.
Okay.
You see?
Yeah,
so
that makes sense.
Then it's like, then where's my joy? It just got sucked away from making money.
And yet, when you take pictures for other people, you're preserving those memories for them in the same way that you do it for yourself. You know, you're giving them those pictures, those memories, so that they'll have them to look on, you know, years down the road and not go through the experience that you did of not having anyone take pictures of your parents and so forth.
Exactly.
And so I'm not sure that you would lose the joy, because you're giving joy to other people when you're taking their pictures. You know, I'm thinking of those girls, you know, the foster girls. And, you know, I don't know what ages they are. You have to be careful about taking children's pictures. I understand that. I was just thinking, I wonder if anyone has ever taken pictures of them, or pictures of them with, you know, the friends that they make in the various homes where they are, or, you know, of the families that they stayed with, so that they've got a history.
Right, right. See, when I worked there, that's what I did for them.
Oh, you did that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what I did is because they were all living in the same group home, and there comes times when, like, when they decided to shut it down, they all went separate ways. So what I did was made them like those wall calendars, and for each month I put a picture of themselves or whoever they were you know, on the pictures, and then for the, on the birthday month, I put everybody's birthday in the house, that lived in the house, and everybody that worked in the house, so when they leave, they at least know their birthday if they want to reach out to them, maybe.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, you have so, you seem to have so many other skills. I mean, photography is one. The, you know, the purpose of the exercises is so that you kind of expand your self-awareness and look at all the strengths that you have. And I know that they are many from the stories that you've told. Where, you know, then you can start, once you have a vision of what you want to do, you know, maybe a vision board would be something that might, excite you a little bit. What's your experience with vision boards?
I did one on the, New Year's Day.
Mm-hmm.
I went to this vision board workshop.
Oh.
This girl was having on New Year's Day.
Awesome. And so was it a vision board for, you know, like for work or for a life vision board? Was there a specific topic for your vision board?
No. It wasn't
okay.
A topic. It wasn't work related. As a matter of fact, I saw it on Facebook, and I saw it within my area.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, okay, this would be a good way to kick off the year.
Uh-huh.
You know?
And so what of those things have you been able to take action on to make them become reality?
I don't think nothing so far.
Mm.
Because
that's,
you know,
the reason for
this is the struggle. This year, this kind of been like you can't really do a lot.
Mm. Yes, you're right. With COVID, it is difficult. We have to be creative. And, you know, that's the thing. And when you ask me what's the purpose of doing these exercises, it's to help you set some goals. And then with your goals, then to set some action steps so that you can start taking action in setting your life off in the direction that you want to make it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you write yourself that letter from your 80 or 90-year-old self, that's helping you create a future, because when you let yourself be creative and you look back on your life, look back on things that you've done, that you've accomplished, that make you really proud of. And you've already accomplished so much. And these exercises are helping you, hopefully, to go even broader than where you are now. Let me just open up, Veronica, Allison. I know you're working on the exercises. Mary Beth, what, Krista, what have you found in doing these exercises? What has been the point for you?
Hi, Nan. This is Krista.
Yes.
I've been working on them. I actually have not put it down on paper yet, which I'm doing this week because I'm in the process. Mm-hmm. My partner's moving in right now, like last week and this
great.
Week. It's been a little chaotic, but it's been on my mind, and I find just being mm-hmm. on my mind and where we're trying to combine two lives, it's actually helped me be more direct with what my needs are going to be. And what her needs are, and meeting in that middle before, and not waiting for her mm-hmm. to move in and then being like, oh no, you know, this
yeah.
needs to change or that needs to. So it's really unique for me to be able to be taking this class right now with everything going
mm-hmm.
on in the life shift. So it's been on my mind. I haven't, like I said, this is the week I have, she's not here through the end of the week, so I have this time to really sit down and actually put it down on paper. But I have, it's been on my mind and
mm-hmm.
been thinking about it very
good.
Actively.
Good. So that's interesting. You're able to apply it to your life right now as it's happening. That's wonderful.
Right.
Anyone else?
Yeah, one thing on my vision board is classes, tours, and workshops. So, and I'm in this class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there you are. You are taking steps.
Mm-hmm. One, I have glasses. I got my glasses.
Good. That's what the purpose of the vision board is for, is to help you to, as I say, set some goals for yourself and then, you know, make the changes in your life that need changing. You know, to look at, are there things in my life that I'm tolerating that I really don't like, that, if they were, you know, and then if they looked like X, then I would feel better. And then start thinking about actions you can take, just small steps. To creating that change. So, and maybe, for example, the first thing we're going to be talking about today is the life balance wheel. And, you know, the ability for you to put down all of the pieces of the pie that make up your life. And the one that I've given as an example here, you know, has a focus on life purpose. And things that are important, usually a part of everyone's life. And it doesn't mean that you can't add pieces that are important to you. I had a client once for whom the environment was really important. And she said, if I'm not actively working on making the environment cleaner, you know, and then she said, I don't feel fulfilled. And I had another client for whom it was animal care. You know, she worked, did the volunteer work at animal shelters because that was so important to her. And every day she wanted to be doing something towards making an animal's life better. And so whether you do it in the life balance wheel or whether you do a mind map on it, there's a resource that I put there, the Coaching Tools Company. For those of you who are coaches, it's a great resource for free tools. Sign up for their e-zine, and every month they have a theme and they give something free. And it's they have very interesting resources. One of them is a blank life balance wheel where you can write in your own pieces of the pie.
Where is this, Nan?
It's at the Coaching Tools Company. It's on page 47. It's on page 47 of the resources. They are really great. But their blank life balance wheel is terrific. It's something you can actually customize for your own business, put your own contact name and information on, and your own logo and so forth. And they have instructions there. You know, that it within each piece of the pie, you write down, say on a scale of 1 to 5, or some people prefer 1 to 10, it doesn't matter. Where are you now in each of the areas of your life? And then where would you like to be? So if you're at a 2 and you want to be at a 5, a 4 or a 5, then it shows you there's a good place for you to start. And I like the life purpose one that I gave you as an example. I really love that they put play on here.
Yes, I noticed.
Because that's one of the most important things in order to put life in balance. You know, I ask my clients, what do you do for fun? And what do you guys think is the most common response I get when I ask that question?
I don't know.
What do you do for fun?
Watch TV.
Yeah. Most of them say fun. What's fun?
You know,
I haven't had fun in years. My life is, you know, I work all the time or whatever, or I'm worried, I don't have fun anymore. One client I had told me, I don't do fun. And you think, whoa, manage, you know, what kind of a life is that? And so I really liked that they put that in there.
Yeah.
And, you know, life purpose, that could be personal growth, you know, to be continually learning as you all are doing. In taking this course, you're learning about yourself. You're learning how to apply what's meaningful for you to perhaps employment or perhaps to how you will help in your communities in terms of volunteering or whatever, how you're applying it to your relationships. You know, there's a lot there. And so, Demetrius, maybe this is a tool that could help you more when you get into doing the life wheel is, how will I apply this? And the other example that I gave was, again, doing a mind map, putting yourself in the middle. And then it didn't come out very well. Because I had to scrunch it all up, so it's hard to read. So from the individual in the center of the mind map come categories of importance, you know, and so whatever is important to you, relationships, good health, I can't read half of mine, personal coach, and then from those categories come subsets of interest in those particular areas. And then from those subsets come potential resources, your ideals, your values, your dreams. And from them flow visions and goals. and then plans and action steps. So this is really the crux of why are you doing all of these things? How are these exercises valuable to you? And how can you apply them to your own life? So you can see, I hope, how doing either the mind mapping with the flow of categories or the life balance wheel can really be a stepping off point for you in terms of developing goals and action steps. And another thing that I think is important is the resources and support systems for change. So you have both internal and external resources. And the internal resources speak mostly, I think, to mindset. What do you think is a mindset that we need in order to make change in our lives?
Growth mindset.
Yes. Yes, you want to grow.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
The support system.
Yeah. Yeah, most people when they think of support system, they think of allies, don't they? The people to whom you can turn when you need to be supported, whether it's a challenge that comes up for you. We all need friends that we can talk to. And particularly friends who are good listeners. Sorry?
I was thinking of an accountability partner.
Yes, absolutely. That's the best. I think that's the secret sauce that makes coaching so powerful. And it's the reason that a lot of people, you know, I love to ask the coaching question, have you ever made a New Year's resolution? And have you ever made the same resolution more than once? And have you given up on a New Year's resolution because you've made it so many times? And almost everyone is familiar with that routine. And one of the reasons that we don't do them is, number one, we don't write them down. Number two, well, we do tell people. We tell people we're going to do it. Not in a real way, though. Not in a way that you're asking someone to be your accountability partner. And what do you see, Veronica, as being the most important behaviors or characteristics of a good accountability partner?
Well, they will hold you to what you say.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah.
And
have you done such and such, or you know?
Yes, that's exactly mm-hmm. what their role is, and yet. It's hard to do sometimes. It's hard to challenge someone. You know, I had a client once who wanted to lose weight, and she wanted her accountability partner, in addition to me, to be her daughter. And so I said, fine, can your daughter do the job? Do you think she'll be strong enough? And she said, oh, yeah, she will. And then the next time we met, she was really down on herself because she ate a whole pie. And I said, well, where was your daughter? And she said, well, she sat there and watched me eat it. Well, that's not a good accountability partner, you know. So, you know, just having someone there is not enough, obviously. It has to be someone who's committed and strong enough to stand up to you and say, no, you said you wanted to do this, and you asked me to hold you accountable, and I'm taking that pie away. So, you know, or at least challenge you to think about the consequences and how you'll feel if you, after you eat that pie, the regret and so forth. So, that's really important. And one of the, I think one of the biggest things that people have to face when they're looking at transformational changes is the fear. And anybody know the acronym for fear? What those letters stand for?
At the beginning.
Yeah, we did cover this, didn't we? Okay.
Yeah.
False events appearing real. So we have to come to terms with fear and know that it's going to be there. And so that's a mindset that we have to have, is to face the fear, examine it, you know, what's it telling me, what's its purpose, and then be able to just set it down and walk around it and go ahead and do what you need to do. And anxiety and self-doubt are going to accompany that fear. And I think that half the battle is to recognize that it's normal, that the kind of challenges that really enact change mean we're doing things that maybe we haven't done before, or we're doing things differently than we've done them before. And so that's huge, I think, is to be able to come to terms that, yes, I'm going to have that mindset, and I'm not going to let fear and anxiety and self-doubt. So you have to have courage. That's really important. You have to be courageous.
Courage and feeling the fear and doing it anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Face that fear and do it anyway. Absolutely. So you have to be committed and willing to accept the responsibility and ownership for your choices and actions. And maintain a positive attitude. You know, that law of attraction is so sneaky that we have a, you know, we don't want to dwell on those negative thoughts, because negative attracts negative. And if we have a client who's from a negative perspective, then it's our role to help them change that negativity and look for the positives.
The brain has a negative orientation naturally, so that doesn't come by being negative. We have that orientation. And psychologist Rick Hansen says that the brain is like Velcro for negative and Teflon for positive.
So
he
That's
says,
so true.
When something good happens, notice what it feels like in your body, right? And he said, you don't have to linger on it. Just
savor the feeling of good for 20 seconds or so. Not long. Just savor it for a little bit. And then notice what it feels like in the body, right? And it feels different in your body. And then create other opportunities to experience joy. And you can build a trait that way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. And that's all about living mindfully too, isn't it?
I mean,
is to, you know, you enjoy the world a lot more when you just take a moment to recognize that how your body is reacting and look for the joy in each moment. And you're right, it's not easy because we have that natural tendency toward negativity. Mm-hmm. That's what makes it so hard for us to find our own positives and find our own strengths. And yet, if I were to ask you, write down 5 things you don't like about yourself, you'd probably be able to make a long list without any problem. And gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's part of the cycle too, isn't it? Is that when we're grateful for what we have and recognize, we could be so much worse off.
Gratitude, though, is really easy to practice because, it can be for anything. The sun is out today. What a beautiful day. Grateful for that. Or you see something, see a child play and smile and be grateful for that. Notice the sunset. So, simple things.
Yes.
And if you practice 3 of those a day, then, increase that positivity. It can make a positive attitude, again, become a trait rather than just the moment.
I love it.
Right?
That's beautiful. Yes, absolutely. And so our attitude is what we make it. Our thoughts create our reality.
Mm-hmm.
Our mind is so powerful. And so when we learn that we can take control over our minds, that our brains don't have total control over us, then we can do almost anything. And what are some of the external resources? We talked about allies, and those are the people that we trust, that we can share our secrets with, and that they will be strong and challenge us when we need them to. What are some other external resources that we might need?
Learning new things. No, figure out what you need to learn to achieve what you're seeking to achieve. Mm.
Yes, learning. And sometimes we might need a human financial or physical resources.
Mm-hmm.
How do you all feel about asking for help?
It's a strength. I tell my clients it's a strength.
It is.
Know you need help and can ask for it. It's a strength, but we tend to see it as somehow a weakness, but it's not.
Yeah, it's funny. We can't admit or don't want to admit that we can't do everything and don't know everything. when you think about it in that way, it's unimaginable to think that you can do everything yourself, that you never need help from anyone or anything. So I know I always look at it as gifting someone, because it gives you such great pleasure when you do something for someone else. And so when you ask for help, you're actually gifting that person with the pleasures that come from being of service. I had I think it was a student of mine once that said every Christmas at their house, the mother always made Christmas dinner. It was a tradition. You know, everyone came to her house, and she spent the day in the kitchen cooking. And they were all sitting around feeling guilty all day, because they'd go in and ask her for help, and she'd be like, no, 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 this is, you know, this is my gift. And she said, you know, every Christmas it was so hard watching her. As she got older, it was harder and harder for her to do it. And then finally, one year, she just wasn't physically able to do it. And so they had potluck. And everyone brought something, and everyone was in the kitchen and, you know, chatting and enjoying themselves. It was the best Christmas they ever had, she said. Because they all felt like they helped. They all felt mm-hmm. like they were contributing. And so when, you know, when the mom finally allowed that, everyone felt so much better. And so financial resources can include loans, interim financing, new budget strategies or investment skills, spending money that are on items that are important to your purpose and vision. So there was some reading in here in week five about the law of attraction and how it works. And I think we've talked about it before. And I gave an example of Billy Big Shot wanting his Mercedes. And it's really funny how once you start focusing your attention on something, it shows up for you. So are any of you having experiences with law of attraction as you're going through this work, focusing on yourself? No?
As you said, okay. What you focus on will grow.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they tend to notice, I guess. I mean, if you have a negative kind of mindset orientation, you're going to notice well, the negative things come, but mm-hmm. they linger, that you instantly latch on to that thought. If you have a different kind of orientation, more positive, then you might be more attracted to the positive thoughts, and you see the positives as opposed to are natural. Yeah. Or you have ways of, you know, telling yourself a thought is just a thought, or ways of dealing with it to change things around.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully you'll start seeing opportunities, you know, showing up for you. Perhaps resources that you need in order to take some of your steps forward.
So,
and then you
Nan,
can...
I have a...
Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Keep going.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Oh, what?
You have a question?
Just, so this is Kelly. This is Kelly.
Oh, Kelly,
no,
you're there.
To...
Hi.
I sometimes so many beeps come in, and I thought that there were going to be others checking in. But so I wanted to just share my law of attraction that I've been having so much fun with.
Thank you.
And the statement is, I have everything I need, and the universe provides for me in unique and creative ways. And
that's a great statement.
So, and the visual that came in for me a couple weeks ago was the idea of, you know, if you're cooking a dinner, you know, people that have, say you have a recipe. So there's a recipe, you shop for all of your ingredients, and, you know, it can be easy to create a meal in that way. And I'm not a cook, so when I say easy, it's, but even I, who's not a cook, give me a list of ingredients and instructions, and I can go out, get what I need, and I can make a good meal. But when I think of a masterful chef, it's a chef that can just open up the refrigerator and draw upon whatever is available and make a delicious meal. And so now I have that analogy and moving through my life and, you know, what do I have that is available to me in this moment that I can create a masterpiece? So it encourages me to believe that I always have everything that I need at my disposal, and how do I do this in unique ways? And I love it because this idea came into me a couple weeks ago, and I have in a couple weeks I have this big challenging event, and two of my assistants that I'm very dependent upon, they can't make it, and this is a really big week for me. And of course, my first thought was, you know, oh, this is like, how am I ever going to get through this? And it's been interesting because I've been having all these different ideas of some kids that actually have been feeling displaced and with everything coming up with COVID, and they're very eager to learn. And so I've actually now got the idea to reach out to these kids and asking them if they can help me. And it's teaching me again to grow my resources. So I've been very dependent on these two people. And because of this, you know, when I look at this as an opportunity, when the universe says, okay, that's no longer available to you. Okay, well, how might I be more creative? And I love the idea of pulling in these two younger kids. And then as I foster that with this weekend, it also will help me in the future. Well, now I have two new people to draw upon, and it's just now expanded my resources. So I just wanted to share that because I was so excited about how, you know, being in this place of, you know, the universe provides for me in unique and creative ways, because it teaches me to open up my mind to, you know, maybe it's worked this way in the past, but be open to the fact that when you're shut down in one area or you're stuck in one area, it just means be creative.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's growing your creativity.
Share.
Wow.
Yeah. And also,
yeah, because we have the tendency,
know,
to feel like
for help.
Well, yes,
instead of of shutting down and saying, "Well, that's it, I can't do it," you know, you just turn around and find other ways of getting the help you need.
Oh, and then how excited these kids are going to be to help me. Like as you were saying about the mom in the kitchen, you know, she was trying to do it all her way, but it might have been more joyful for everyone if everybody could have maybe pitched in and done their little part. So sometimes we think that we need to take care of everything. And oftentimes, you know, somebody asking for your help, it's an honor, especially when you look up to someone, to have someone that you really look up to say to you, you know, would you mind helping me with this?
Yeah.
You know, it can be such
boy.
A gift.
Yeah. Yes, it's a gift. I absolutely. That is a great share. And I love your phrase.
Yeah, I have to say, in terms of law of attraction, I probably should write a little mini story on all of the creative ways COVID has been providing for me, all of the creative ways the universe has been providing for me during COVID, because I have had so much money coming in and it wasn't from my typical source. It's coming in all these other ways. And I believe, you know, I helped make that possible by just rather than going to fear, going, well, wait a minute, this is just an opportunity for the universe to show me how creative and spark me in new creative ways, and opening up my mind to the fact that even though it's shut down in this way, that things can come in other ways. So it's just been so much fun. So I just wanted to share that.
Yeah. That's my favorite phrase, open to outcome. When you are open to outcome, it's just amazing the different way that you look at things.
That's the growth mindset.
It's a fixed
mindset. Something doesn't work, and you say, oh boy, it didn't work. It's a growth mindset. If things don't work, you say, okay, what did I do wrong? What can I do? What resources do I need? How can I grow from this? How can I stop this from happening again? So there's that openness to growing, right? And you grow.
Absolutely.
But so the brightest person with a fixed mindset won't grow, but somebody who may be deemed regular with the growth mindset can just the brilliant person with the fixed mindset.
So true.
I just like felt Kelly's excitement though for her.
Yes. Yeah, you could hear that energy, couldn't you?
Yeah. I'm happy for her.
Thank you.
And so when we start seeing these things that the universe provides, then we can start writing down some smart goals and action steps. And it's really helpful, too, when you're creating those smart goals is, and this, everyone who knows me knows I hate this word, but you need a big why with it. In other words, what's the reason for me having this goal? You know, what's my intention for it? Because that's going to keep the motivation alive and maybe spark some of that creativity that the universe is providing. And recognizing, hey, I can do things differently. Or I can go and, you know, ask. Or maybe I need to put some money into this. You know, whatever it is that you want to do, connect it to that why.
And is that part of the personal mission statement? Or, I mean, I love the idea of having SMART goals and then, you know, having the why statement for why this is important to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you're saving money. Well, I was going to say, so you can take your family for a vacation. Well, you know, maybe in a different sense now. You know, for example, I have an example of being open to outcome. This was our 50th wedding anniversary, my husband and I, in June. And we had rented a small villa in the south of Spain for the whole month of June. And our son and daughter-in-law and the two granddaughters were going to come and spend a week with us there. And our daughter was trying to arrange to get the time away for them to come with the boys so that we could all have a week together in Spain. And, of course, with COVID, that all disappeared. And we were lucky that we were able to get our deposit back and so forth. And so instead this year we used the money and we put a big deck on the back of our house. We bought some new conversation furniture. We put up a gazebo roof and bought a hot tub And so because the family, we're all in a bubble together, we've been able to have great fun on the weekends with barbecues and hot tubbing. We've probably spent more time together than we would have in that week in Spain. And so, you know, it's just interesting how you can use resources differently to get the same effect.
Mm-hmm.
And that was our big why, was we wanted to have, you know, rather than have a big party or something, we just wanted to have the family come and celebrate our anniversary with us. And we thought, oh, this would be, we've always wanted to go and see that southern part of Spain around Malaga. And so we thought, oh, this would be a fun way to do it. And now we found a way that's even better.
Right.
So,
multiple times.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, I'm grateful for COVID in that way. I don't know what the reason is that we hadn't thought of doing this before. It was just meant to be, I guess. So,
I thought that was the beautiful thing about it all. It kind of forced everybody to spend more family time together. Especially when we were quarantined. You know, it's like it was nothing else to do. It forced you to say, okay, how can we work together to make this day fun?
Yeah. And looking for the positive in something as horrific as a pandemic, I think speaks volumes to our strength as a species, if you will, that here we are, you know, we're in this thing together and we're looking for the positives in it and we're finding them. And I think that makes us all very special. And so, you know, when you're setting your goals, when you're looking at the mind map or looking at the life balance wheel, and you're maybe finding areas that you want to start working on to get up to that 5 or that 10 level, and you start setting some goals, then, you know, remember that why. Remember, why am I doing this? What makes this ultimately important? And the exercises that you've been doing up until now have been pointing you inward at your strengths, at resources that you have that you might not be thinking about, and reminding you to ask for help, so that when you set these goals, knowing that you're not alone, and knowing that being mindful too of the need for self-care in all of this. You know, this has been very stressful on all of us. And there might have, you know, even though we pick our moments and there are times when we're enjoying ourselves, we always remember in the back of our minds that things are changed. And so therefore, you know, we're going through, I think, a multitude of emotions. Our minds are trying to take us to the negative, and we're finding, you know, fighting to find the positives and to be in the moment and to be grateful for all that we have.
The thing is, out of difficult situations always come positive.
Yes.
You learn to look for the silver lining.
If we look for them.
Yeah.
If we look for them. And that's the choice. That's the choice. We either choose to look for them and take action on them, or we become victimized by them.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And that's a choice too, isn't it? We can choose to be victims, or we can choose to be victors. So I have a little exercise book that I wrote. It's called A Five-Star System for Reaching Five-Star Goals. And I'll send that ebook out with the recording today. So that, and Allison, I think I have some resources that were sent out in the beginning of the course that I'm not sure, you have access to all the recordings, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. I think the resources I have to send out by email. So, I'll make sure that when I email you, I'll attach the other resources that, that everyone else has. Okay?
Thank you.
So I'll email all of you today with that little ebook, exercise book. So for homework, it's completing the balance chart or the mind map, identifying those support systems that, you know, you might need to add if you don't have some of them available. Check in with your vision and create some smart goals and action steps that are going to start moving you forward. Just small steps, one at a time. And then start applying it. You know, living on purpose, again, is a choice. And using law of attraction sounds like you all know how to use that beautifully. And then by applying these values, then you can start living on purpose and building your vision and legacy in those communities that you've chosen to serve. So when we meet next week, it will be our last week together, and I'm looking forward to seeing all of you there. So have a great week, everyone. Thank you for being here today. Thank you, Veronica, for all of that you contributed today, and Kelly and Demetris. It's been great. So take care.
Thank
have
you,
a great
honey.
Week.
Thank
See you.
You
next Tuesday. Bye-bye
See
now.
You next Tuesday. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.